Yes.
Okay, I'd like to welcome everybody to the Board of Discovery Bay's meeting for April 17th. If you'll all stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, can we get a roll call, please?
President Tatro?
Here.
Vice President Simon?
Here.
Director Graves?
Present.
Director Pease?
Here.
Director Steele?
Here.
Okay. Now I'd like to go to public comments. Public may comment on anything that is not on the agenda in this meeting. You have 3 minutes, and you can put the podium if you wish to comment. 1 second. And there'll be no dialogue with the person speaking, and the board and the chair will be clarifying any issues that are on. Please go up, sir. Thank you.
My name is Bob Sanum, and I live over on Golden Place. I was here a couple of months ago asking if I could install my water meter on my residence, and was denied. The reason given was they aren't set up to handle individual water meters, although I guess you do meter some individual residences, but they're on an automatic meter or something. Anyway, I still want to have a water meter, and I'm wondering if I'm in violation of any ordinance if I go ahead and install a water meter on my property. I would like to know how much water I'm using. Am I going to be in violation?
Technically, we don't answer questions. It's just this is your time to just speak your mind.
I'm finished.
Okay.
Speaking my mind. And if I will install a water meter if I'm not in violation.
Can you check with staff, please, and he'll let you know if you're in violation or not.
Say again.
Check with the director Howard. I mean,
gentlemen,
Howard. Just give you a raise.
You've been got a pay cut, but you got to
You don't want.
No, he got demoted, not promoted.
You don't want that.
Well, the last time I checked with him, I had been given a go-ahead to get the specifications for a water meter, and I went in to Rick to get specifications, and he said that I've been given bad information by one of the directors that they weren't set up to do this. So, can you tell me if I'm going to be in violation?
I will call Mr. Sink tomorrow.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Any other public comment? Please come on up.
All right, Galen Ziegler, got some good news for you from the P6 committee. We met Monday night and decided to support the school resource officer for another year.
Oh, good.
Out of the funds that are available in reserves. There's really not enough to from our ongoing income. And in that regard, the people that were there from the school, and I think there was one or two other people, we're hoping to come up with some more fundraising efforts. And hopefully in the future we can find some other way to fund that on a more permanent basis, because P6 funds won't last that much longer. There is a fundraiser, as some of you probably know, Saturday night over at the steakhouse. And I think they're sold out, but they're also having a silent auction. So that'll help a little bit. We just need a whole lot of those.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Any other public comment? Seeing none, I will close public comment, and I believe we have, looks like we have a presentation.
That's right. Thank you, Mr. President. Member of the Board, Gregory Harris from Curwood Engineering, our district engineer, is going to give us an update on the bond, well, on all the CIPs, but primarily on the projects that are the capital finance projects.
Carol, can you see what happened?
Okay. You should have a couple of handouts, a couple items. That the screen is going to be a little small, so I'll put it up there for the public. There's also handouts for the public, so everyone has a copy of what's on the screen up here. And hopefully everyone recognized this as the CIP budget that you guys have established for all these projects. Okay. And so the numbers that I'm going to present to you come off of this sheet. So if you want to back up or something, where did they come from? The right-hand column of this sheet is your total dollar amount assigned in your CIP over multiple years, however many years it was, and the left-hand column is the title of the project, okay? So these numbers are going to move off of here into what I'm going to show you coming up, okay? And since people care about money more than schedule, we'll start with money. So let's go to there, and we'll open up... Okay, so this sheet is handed out in front of you, so you guys can read the numbers. It's very similar to what I showed you 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. All the numbers are stuff we have made minor refinements in cross-checking against the CIP, and there was a question about contingency, remember last time, mm-hmm. some things like that. So we've gone back with Dina and Rick, and just let's just recheck all these numbers, make sure that we're all talking the same language here. So, as you see across the top of the table, we have the budget. That budget is off your CIP sheet we just looked at, okay? And the title of the project is off your CIP sheet that we just looked at also. So you can go down. I organized them a little different so I can graph them a little different, but it's the same thing. So the first project is fiber optic. It has a budget of $50,000, and we're on track to spend about $50,000, not over, not under. So it's got a zero on the differential. The yellow item is the differential. That's what we're tracking, like are we gaining or are we losing money? Like are we getting behind or are we ahead, you know? And as you recall, what prompted this is the bids for pump station W. But pump station were high. And if you go over and look at that column, there's three columns for pump station W. One's the budget, one's what the budget would be if we had accepted the bid at one point, and you see that we would have been over our budget by $700,000. And then the other is where we hope to be to reduce that amount of deficit to $500,000 by redesigning and rebidding the project. Okay, so we sum up as you go across the bottom for the different projects, and we see that we're still short about $300,000, which is what I mentioned last time. And our goal is to do some value engineering on the secondary project to get that $300,000 back. There was a question on contingency last time, all the way on the far right. The contingency in the bond funds is $300,000. But we don't want to use contingency yet. We're just going to leave that. And we're going to try and get that $300,000 out of the secondary project. And then all the numbers above are kind of graphed below. So you graphically, you can kind of see a little easier. Are we ahead or behind? You can see the Pump Station W project. Our budget's in blue. All the budgets are in blue. And then, remaining construction dollars are in red. And if they don't line up, then we're ahead or behind, in simple terms. And all the numbers are here, so you can do your own calculations. Kevin's furiously back-checking my numbers. And he'll have an update for everybody in a minute. So on a project-by-project, so that's generally what's going on here. So if you look at the bars, you can see, early on, we did the UV project for less money than was budgeted, a $250,000 budget, came in around $155,000, saved $100,000. Solids handling right now, almost all of it has been committed funds or contracted already. We're coming down to the end. Mm-hmm. We're estimating $75,000 over on that project. But we built the entire fourth solar dryer for the cost of what was originally budgeted for just one. So the master plan, that was a $2 million project. We managed to cram it all in and do some redesign, and we cut some change orders. And so you're getting a whole solar dryer for free if you would order $75,000. We'll know more when we bid that last piece of that construction. And we've already done some value engineering on the electrical for that to reduce that cost further. So, you know, that's where that one's floating. Pump station W, as we talked about, there's your budget. The middle column would be $700,000 if we'd gone with the bids. And we're in the middle of redesign right now. And we're going to do some TVing on some of the existing pipes, see if we can't reuse them, some other things to cut costs. And we've gone over those cost savings with Rick and Virgil. Secondary improvements, it's only been designed yet, but we are stopping to do some value engineering as part of that process, make sure we can recapture that $300,000 that we're running behind right now. SCADA improvements hasn't been started yet. Collection systems improvements haven't been started yet. Lift station F hasn't been started yet, and then there's the contingency. So that makes up a quick summary about this. And then what we're going to do is we're just going to keep this up to date all the time. So if we go forth, we'll just keep adding the numbers into this, and we'll always have a kind of a run-going thing that looks like this for the project. So that's the answer on the dollars. Any question on dollars before I move on to scheduling?
Okay.
Yes.
I would just ask, Greg, that as you move forward with these numbers, that you maintain the numbers that we see here tonight so we can see the delta.
Yeah, okay.
As opposed to just changing them so that we don't remember from one month to the next what the change was.
Sure, so we'll show the delta.
So that would be great.
We'll highlight what's changed.
Thank you.
You can see it. And you can see the amount
that would be helpful for me.
No problem. That's a good suggestion.
Good idea.
Okay.
Good. Why are you showing the 650 and the 500,000?
Those are CIP projects that nothing started on yet, but they are technically in the CIP and they have bond money issued for them. So they're being tracked, it's just nothing's happened on them yet. So the budget, what we're showing is the budget. The budget is $650,000 for a collection of system pump stations, and the budget is $350,000 for SCADA improvements, and the budget for lift station F right now is $500,000, just no work's been done.
Yeah, but that number over here is the... number that you're saying is the balance.
Well, that's correct, but the balance is, well, no.
Yes.
The highlighted yellow are we above or below our target,
okay.
Not the actual.
Oh, these others you're just not considering.
Yeah, so the others are zero, so zero is zero. Mm-hmm. But we'll pick them up when money starts getting spent on them, but I didn't want to.
Okay.
Zero.
Right now you have no idea whether they'll go over or under.
Right, because nothing's been done.
Okay.
And the total bond was?
14.
But that also includes some water projects, some other things. So this is all wastewater.
Yeah.
CIP wastewater. That's what this is.
Mm.
Okay? All right, so also in front of you is your schedule. So I've taken off stuff that's already done, we just dropped off the schedule. We don't need to go backwards. So there's basically five projects that are left, if you would. And the first one is secondary process improvements. And there was a question about how far are you done? We're 20% done. When will it be done? We're targeting out to bid in January. Okay? And then you'll start construction. You bid it in January. You start construction on February 14th. All right? Pump station W improvements. There is equipment that you've already authorized. That's the green bar. So that's being fabricated right now. It's set to arrive in October. We are going to do that little value engineering redesign that we're working on right now, and we're going to be out to bid, we think, in May for that project, and then we'll start construction of that in July, and we expect that to wrap up April next year. Okay. Since that was dominated, a part of that schedule was dominated by the equipment showing up, we haven't really lost time on the overall schedule. We were supposed to be done in April next year anyway. So we're not losing time on the project, but we're doing the little redesign. Solids handling improvements, said all the concrete's been done. The Parkson is still working on their submittal for the building and the equipment. Hopefully that'll be approved this week. We've been going back and forth with them for about 6 months on that. They don't expect that to arrive, though, until the end of August, the physical building to be constructed for the solar dryer. So we're expecting building construction to begin in September. Or so, and then while they're building the building, we're going to bid the last piece of work. The only person that hasn't been bid yet is the electrical installation. And that's why we know so much about that budget. The only thing that has not been bid on that is electrical installation. That's going to happen about halfway through the construction of the building, and then they'll jump in and finish that building up, as shown here, starting in November. SCADA improvements and pump station F improvements. Let's jump to pump station F as the last project for a second. Pump station F's budget is $500,000. There's been a discussion of, can we maybe build a new pump station or not? And we said we won't know that until we bid the big secondary project and see where some of these other projects land out, see if the money's left over. And then if there were, say, extra left over, then you could say, hey, maybe we build a new pump station, or maybe we cut that project scope, but not. So we're holding the start of that project till after we bid the secondary process improvements, and everyone knows roughly where most of the money's going and how much is going to be left over. So that one doesn't start till after the bidding on that. And then SCADA improvements are, you know, basically end of summer sometime. That's starting with the pump stations and coordinating with Veolia. It's kind of a smaller project, and that's sort of the schedule there for that. So that is the schedule for the remaining part of the projects as of today. And those are the dollars for the projects. Any questions on either of those?
Yeah, just so that I can come up to speed a little bit, we're talking about secondary improvements, approximately $6 million, but
yeah,
there's nothing on here, so I'm assuming we're going to improve things that.
Okay, secondary improvements project is defined in the CIP and the master plan.
Right.
Is a new oxidation ditch at plant 2, a new clarifier at plant 2, and then then some support systems, if you would, at plant 2. So it's essentially the redundant oxidation ditch and clarifier identified under the master plan so that you guys can do maintenance on your facilities, et cetera. That's what that project is.
That's not on this sheet.
Yeah, it's the first one, number 4.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, that's number 4.
Okay.
Yeah, so their very first project, that's the big one. It's project number 4, secondary process improvements. And that is in design now, and we expect it out to bid in January.
Okay.
Yeah, so every CIP project is on this schedule and is on the summary sheet I gave you.
Right, yeah, I was looking under the wastewater. That's why I didn't see it.
Oh, okay.
On the budget. So.
All right, and then all these projects are on the CIP, the CIP that I gave you as well. These are the ones that are left, because we've done a bunch of the other ones, like UV, and the other ones are behind us, so I didn't repeat those.
On the CIP, it's listed as project number 4.
Yeah, down on structures and improvement wastewater.
Yes, right, okay. Yeah, so right. If you look on the schedule, and see the number 4, and then we got the number 1, 2, 3, and then that matches your CIP.
All right.
Okay, so that matches your CIP. So
thank you.
Cross-check those.
To go back to the numbers for a moment, when I look at the 2012 through 2017 CIP budget, are all of those figures coming out of the bond, or are some of those operating numbers too? Is there a combination of numbers involved in that, or are those all bond numbers?
The dark green are bond.
No, I'm looking at this sheet now.
That sheet is all bond, with the exception of the first $800,000 on the
Solids.
Right,
yeah. Yeah, so if you look.
Okay, so here's my problem. When I add up those 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 numbers, including the contingency, mm-hmm. I get 13.6, which only leaves a half a million. And I thought that the wells, part of the well money's also, I mean, that only leaves a half a million left for water. Is that the way we plan the budget?
No. What Rick said wasn't quite right. If you look at your CIP budget, so okay. where for solids handling, for that example, that's a combination of CIP budget and bond.
So it's not 100% bond money.
Right.
That's,
exactly.
Okay. I'm good. That's all right. That's the what I was looking for.
Right. And the way to check, as Rick said, is my dollar amount where it says budget, bump, 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 2012-2017 CIP budget is the first line.
Right.
Okay. If you go to the very right-hand column, the green sheet you have there,
yep,
that sums it. Okay. But some of the projects included CIP money. And so, like on the solid handling, $800,000 of it, if you look on the little chart here, blue is your budget, but on the chart, I have a yellow bar right down here. If you look over here on the right, it says 2011-2012 CIP. So you had a CIP sort of before you floated the bonds.
Well, that's good news, because then that runs us up to 14.4, and we didn't even fund that much. So that's why, that hence my question.
Yeah. So, and then I thought that there was like this plug station, pump station improvements, a couple other things. I thought there was a couple things that were a mixture off of that sheet. I'm not 100% sure without looking at it right here, but there is a mixture of the CIP, but the big thing is this matches exactly the CIP that you guys have adopted in terms of where the money comes from exactly. We need to go through the CIP.
There's some water. There's some funds associated with Well 7 that are not in this, that are not financed, that were prior to the financing, that were in the budget and still remain in the budget. So that's probably the difference.
I'll spend a little bit of time. I'll come in and see you.
That was a good question, though. That was a good question. So everything on the sheet is not all bond fund. It is a mixture.
That's good news.
But it is correct with your CIP.
That's good news to me.
All right.
Any other questions? Anything from the audience?
Okay, great.
Thank you so much, guys.
Thanks, Greg.
Appreciate that.
Thanks, Chris.
Mr. President?
Yes, sir.
Science Chief Burris decided to join us 2 weeks late. And so now would be, if the board would like, it would be a good
time. I was wondering what
time
that to
for.
You have to come back twice a month now? Is that the deal? Or?
I didn't fill the knife in my back.
Well, you'll notice that the attendance is down because they didn't expect you. When you show up, the place is filled.
It's packed.
No, I was sick as a dog, and he really didn't want me to
show up. No.
Bring you guys the credit. Well, I'm Battalion Chief Burris, the Chief Cut Justifier. Fire. As you can see, the format of our informational packet that we're giving to all of the MACs and TACs has changed by the direction of the fire chief. He wants to remain consistent with the information that is going out to all of the different groups. So this is the overall view of the fire district from a global perspective. It not only covers your area, but because the fire district is an umbrella of protection, what affects you guys as a community can also affect Brentwood, Oakley, Knightson, and Bethel Island. So for the month of March, Station 59, which encompasses Station 59, Old 58 in Discovery Bay, and 57 in Byron, had 53 calls in the month of March with an average response time of 8 minutes and 18 seconds. In February, there were a total of 58 calls with an average response time of 7 minutes and 32 seconds. In the calendar year of 2012, the station ran 786 calls for service with an average response time of 8 minutes and 44 seconds. Beginning May 1, Station 54 in downtown Brentwood will be opening up, which is your second due engine company, and any type of major incident that would take place in Discovery Bay proper or common. We've hired 10 new employees, and they will be graduating here on Saturday and coming online May 1st. Between this coming Saturday and May 1st, they will be assigned to stations as the fourth person while they get the feel for the district and an organization online and not just interstate or federal. Does somebody need an extra one?
No, we don't.
On the back page, it also talks about auto aid. Because we are so short-staffed on fire engines, talks about how many times Contra Costa County Fire District has come into our district with a number of resources and how many times we've gone into their district with resources. So globally, fire departments are not a standalone entity, unfortunately, because of the cuts. Contra Costa County Fire has also received some similar cuts that we went through, and depending on how bad they are hit, we could see automatic aid going away from their organization because they just won't have the resources to send. Which means if there's a large-scale incident, you'll only have your fire protection district to cover that. Not to be doom and gloom, but just brass tacks.
Chief Burke, when I look at the response times from our Bixler station, of what you would consider those that have a station located within their town, city, community, we have the longest response times. Is that because our station is also responding to response times outside of our area, like Byron and some other areas, and so it's not necessarily indicative of what the response times are in Discovery Bay, what we would consider proper?
Yes, it's because...
Because that seems longer station than they've been before.
Well, yeah, as we have more calls out towards the county line, out on Vasco, as you think about last month, we had some accidents out towards the county line. Well, that messes with your average.
Right.
So if all your calls are centrally located in a small area, yeah, you've got really good response times. It only takes one call all the way. You know, we had the Taylor Lane fire in Bethel Island, where on my shift, where we burned up a house and a half, because the first house, they didn't bother, or nobody reported the fire until it was so well involved that there wasn't anything anyone was gonna be able to do about it. And the power lines were down on that second house that was severely damaged, and PG&E gave us a 90-minute ETA. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, with all the occupants out, we're just burning real estate, although it is somebody's personal property. We can't justify risking a firefighter's life for personal property. Now, if somebody was in the house, we would make every effort to go in there and get them. But the fire service has a history of electrocuting firefighters. Mm-hmm. So the residents of Bethel Island, unfortunately, feel that there should be something done, that their community has this issue. Well, to be perfectly honest, every community has the issue. If there are down power lines in front of your house, I'm not going to risk my guys to go in and save your Corvette in the garage or, you know, anything, as long as your family is out.
So when I think back about when we were talking about the restructuring of the stations at the meetings and such, and I think back about that chart we have with the concentric circles.
Yes.
The reason that the response times in the Brentwood and Oakley area are tighter is because those concentric circles tend to overlap greater in that area than they do out here, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, and their area of response, this station gets tasked with J4.
Right.
And Highway 4.
And it's the only one that's in that circle.
Yes, it's the only one.
That's what I mean. There's not as much overlap of the circle.
So if your engine station 59 is on a medical call, and then you get another medical out here, now we're responding a unit from Brentwood or possibly Knightson.
Right. Understood. Thank you.
Chief, can I ask you a question?
I'm looking at Knightson.
Excuse me, sir?
Knightson. They have so few calls and a huge variance. You've got a 3-minute spread between 2012, they should come from 6 minutes and 10 seconds to 8.22 minutes.
From one to the other.
8 minutes, 22. And then it shows the average response time of 9 minutes, 12 seconds. Why is there such a variance in there?
Well,
such few calls.
You've got to remember that we also shut down the Bethel Island station. So Bethel Island, for a small community, does have a rather large call for service. The demographics have
a lot of medical.
A lot of medical. Incidents tend to grow rapidly, so we tend to send more resources there than you might think. There are only 2,000 residents living there, but they do have a very high draw for those services. When we shut down that Bethel Island station, Knightson being so slow, it predominantly is what you might consider as a cover engine.
Yeah.
Very few calls in the actual community of Knightson, so they spend a lot of time responding to Oakley, Brentwood, and Bethel Island. Did I answer your question?
Yeah, you did. I forgot how much they spend time on Bethel Island. I forgot about that.
Yeah, they spend a lot of time on the road.
Yeah.
But keep in mind, they are, you know, every once in a while we get beat up, why do we have fire engine Knightson? Because they are covering Oakley,
yeah,
Brentwood, Bethel Island, and they are possibly second or third due to Discovery Bay.
Lakes and Lake Shores, especially.
Yes. The last fire we had in the lakes, they were second due, which, you know, the more engines you've got, the closer you've got them. You know, some communities, they want more fire engines in their community. Well, having a fire engine at the very next community is just as good as, I might not say discovery bay on the door, but it's still coming.
Thank you.
Yeah, Bert.
Mutual aid to when you do J4, you go past the, you start Alameda County. Do you guys have mutual aid agreements with them? Because then Alameda is just a short distance, and you got San Joaquin County. And then when you cross Old River Bridge here, you guys do respond to auto accidents or incidents down there. One recently about a vehicle going off the road. And do they reciprocate, or do they come out in this area?
Depending on the type of the incident, there is a out J4, there is what they might consider a no man's land that is not protected by an organization. So if you were to break your arm, you would not be getting a fire department response. Now, if there was a life-threatening emergency, we will respond to Middle River Bridge and Stockton conversely. So it all depends on the nature of
it. What about Mountain House on the J4?
Well, Tracy Fire will come out Tracy Boulevard and then either go left or right. That's kind of a weird geographical area. Yeah. If you dial 911, depending on what your area code is on your phone, is where that call gets routed. So we've gone all the way past Middle River Bridge, and Stockton Fire has actually come all the way to Discovery Bay Boulevard for an auto accident, and then the engine from Discovery Bay shows up and is like, well, how long have you guys been here? So, and then Highway 4 is equally an odd zone because you've got three counties and four jurisdictions that respond closely, because you've got Alameda County, you've got Tracy Fire, and you've got Livermore Pleasanton, and then you've got us. So you never know what you're going to get. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Glad you're feeling better.
All right. So now, director's comments.
No comments at this time.
Comments.
Wait for the committee updates.
All right. Okay, I'm done with that. We're gonna go to the consent calendar.
I'll make a motion that we approve the consent calendar. Second.
Any comments from the audience?
Nope.
On consent calendar? None. Any questions from the board? None. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. New business, number one, award for a construction bid for Discovery Bay Belt Pass number 3.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. I'm going to ask Gregory Harris to come up and address this, but essentially we had the bid opening last week. There were 6 bidders. Lowest responsible bid was to GSE in the amount of $168,052. It was interesting to note, if you looked at the bid table, of the six bidders, 3 of them were separated by just under $3,000, and so we felt that the bids were pretty solid. And Greg can get a little bit more into detail with that.
Yes, this is one of the last pieces for the Solace project that we put, and this bid cost for this portion of construction is in the numbers that I gave you earlier.
Yeah.
So that's reflected there. So we're recommending award for this project. That gets the belt press that you guys have already purchased.
Mm-hmm.
That arrives shortly.
Right,
last week. It's already mm-hmm. here. That gets that installed and does the final bit of work before they build the solar dryer and do the electric for the solar dryer. So it's the last of the 3 projects.
So you want to award it to GSE?
Yes.
Do we have to award it to the lowest bidder?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
You got somebody else in mind?
What'd he
say? He said yes.
Well, I know Conoco West did their last one.
Yeah, they did the last one. And they did a good job for us.
Yeah, I would have liked to see them do it.
But
that's why I just asked that question.
These are really good bids. You get 3 bids within $3,000 on $168,000. I mean, these guys are all seeing the same thing.
Yeah. Any other questions from the board? Any from the audience? Can I get a motion?
Yeah, I'll make a motion. I make the motion we award construction bid to the lowest bidder, which is GSE for the Discovery Bay Belt Press number 3, not to exceed $168,052.
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All right. Number one down.
One.
Thank you. Great. Number two, approve the lowest bidder for the abandonment, well number four.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. This is switching from wastewater to the water side of the house. Well four is off of Discovery Bay Boulevard. It was a well that was initially constructed by, I believe, Delta Diablo Sanitation District prior to our formation. The well pumped evidently more sand than it did water, and it was only in service for a very short period of time. The state is indicated in some of the attachments there, has a series of criteria for wells that are not being utilized and that are not operational. And after discussing this significantly with our water engineering firm of Bluedorp and Scommanine, they concur that the well should be abandoned. You recall a few months back we removed the pump and the column pipe, and this would go ahead and provide the concrete and the capping on it well. The big concern is that the aquifer above, which is a very brackish aquifer, could leach into the drinking water aquifer below, which is where we receive all of our drinking water from. So it's a prudent measure. It was something that wasn't anticipated earlier in the year, but yet we feel it's important to do it at this time. So we're looking for a approval to destroy well four and cap it. I believe it's with a concrete cap, very similar to a nanite type of a structure.
It's neat cement.
Neat. Pretty neat.
Doesn't have any rocks in it, almost like stucco.
Okay.
So if the board has any questions?
Rick, where's this money coming from? Rick?
We can either pull it from our capital reserve account that we have, or I'm recommending that we utilize the pumps and motors fund that we have. We looked at that earlier. In fact, it's in the CIP right now, and we have sufficient funds to do
that.
If we get to the end of the year and we need to move money from the capital reserve account, we would go ahead and recommend that.
How much is in there? Do you know offhand?
In the capital reserve account?
Yeah. Just roughly, I'd be wrong.
$200,000 for water.
Okay.
In that neighborhood?
Yeah.
180, something like that.
Any other questions for staff? Any questions from the audience?
Move staff recommendation.
I'll second.
We have first and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
There's $250,000 in that capital fund.
Thank you.
Even better. All right. Veolia report.
Good evening, Board and Town. My name is Kermit Garcia with Veolia Water, the project manager for the wastewater and water treatment plants for Discovery Bay. I present the month of March upper import operation report. We experienced 1,309 days of safe operations, equivalent to 56,341 work hours since the last report plant incident. Training for the month, several items, general electricity safety, crew shocks and burns, safety vehicle housekeeping, lock and tag out, control of hazardous energy, behavior observation, safety reporting, and monthly regional safety webinar. The project manager, which is me, attended an annual project corporation meeting down in Florida for a week, part of training. Water services, five active wells, we produced 86 million gallons of water, over 2,000 gallons of hydrochloride was delivered, and there's a table here for production of water, keeping track of it, and at the end of the year, we'll see what we produce for the whole year. The bacterial results for the water, we performed 16 samples, and there was no positive, no fecal, no brown water calls. First, wastewater. These are the effluent parameters limits January's results and February results. The NPDES table relays that we had 5 related excursions in regard to a permit. And the parameter was a total call form, limits 23, and the highest actual parameter was 175 MPN, the most probable number. We had 9 samples that we collected, 4 were positive, resulting in a 7-day median. Does anybody have any questions in regards to the 7-day median? Yes, sir.
Don't have a clue.
The permit states when you take a sample, the 6 previous days includes a 7-day median. And for example, if you take 3 samples, you would take drop off the highest one, drop off the lowest one, and the one in the middle would be your median. Right? If you had 4, you take up the highest one, take up the lowest one, the 2, you would add them together and divide them in half, and that would be your 7-day median. In this case, we had, so you could have a high, let's say you have 1 high sample, and if it exceeds 46, it doesn't make a difference if it gets 0 on a following sample for that week, because it's still going to be higher than the 23. It would be 23.5, and according to the rule of significant figures, it'll round off to 24, and that'll be an excursion.
So your 7-day sample, is it always a, I'm just saying, a Sunday?
It's a rolling Sunday? 7-day, don't matter. It's just whenever you take a sample, take 6 previous days.
Okay.
And we're mandated to take 2 samples a week. So very little flexibility of trying to manipulate those numbers. 15 active lift stations. We had 1 SSO, and I don't know if you recall, I spoke about that last month on Newport. We had that piece of plastic that got stuck in the ARV valve. Collection system. Flushed 19,357 feet of sanitary sewer. We're at 100% complete for flushing for this year. And we're also at 100% of CCTV for flushing this year. So that's complete. Maintenance. Installed full meter valve press. Installed a new sampler. I inspected the lift stations every week. And again, this is a SSO in regard to the response to early valve leak in Newport Water Plant. Ordered new racks for the UVs. Those came in. The staff primered them, painted them, and we've already used them. Those are very helpful. Lake lift station had 2 variable frequency drives that failed. Virgil ordered 2 of them. I think we got both of them in, installed 1, and 1 of them we had to send back. Cooper controls calibrated the meters for the wastewater. We replaced several burned relays on mold B, as for the solids dryers, and replaced bolts on the manual rotor airbrush for their oxidation ditch. For water, we had Newport Water Treatment Plant number 4 failed, was troubleshooted, and we had a chlorine pump that was rebuilt, chlorine pump number 2 at Newport, and worked on exercising the valve distributions. Preventable and corrective maintenance, performed 242, total 126 hours, 7 call-outs, 1 emergency. Personnel hours of overtime, 1,274, and 23 hours of overtime. And the following is just a list of terms and acronyms in the wastewater.
Any questions?
Yeah, the you mentioned you calibrate the wastewater meters. How often is that done? Is that a
yearly? I'm pretty sure it's an annual thing that is mandated by the state. Has to be calibrated.
Okay.
Mr. President,
yes.
If I can add 2 things to Furman's presentation. If you recall earlier, he mentioned about the how many gallons of sodium did we buy last month?
Over 2,000.
Over 2,000 gallons. Today, if you recall, we're part of the Bay Area Chemical Consortium. We joined mm-hmm. that last year,
yeah.
and their bids for 2013-14 were actually submitted today.
Mm-hmm.
If you remember, we used to pay over $2 a gallon for that. Mm-hmm. And if we're doing 2,000 gallons a month, you can imagine how much we're spending over the course of a year.
Mm-hmm.
The rate last year, or this current year, is 45 cents a gallon, and next year it's just under 43 cents a gallon.
Right.
So it's gone down a little bit. So I just wanted to provide that to you. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is, if you notice, on Monday, JW Construction had torn up Sandpoint,
yeah,
just on the other side, Discovery Boulevard there. And because of the CCTV video that they took, we found a broken sewer main, and they went in and replaced a 5-foot long main. So we were grateful to have that. And so that's one of the reasons why we do the videos, so we find things like this, so we can address them, so there's not a sewer main collapse, which would cause much more problems. So,
I'd like to elaborate a little bit more on that. On that sewer main, we have a 36-inch storm drain pipe right next to it. And what the UNO in Discovery Bay, the Reclamation District 800, has siphons that move water around. Primarily this pipe is feeding from Sand Bay Isle, the lakes that are in Sand Bay Isle, moving that water to the golf course. They have concrete pipe. Their concrete pipe is broken. They didn't know about it. But when we took our video camera down the sewer main, we had three guys peeing in there. Large amounts of water coming in at different spots. And so we said, well, that we thought that was groundwater until we opened the ditch this week, and then we found their pipe had hit our pipe when they put it in. And contractors, what they do is they put cement over a pipe when they break it. They just pour cement over it, acting like a piece of bubble gum, maybe. And the water eventually worked into it and then came in. So now Rec 800 is going to have to put a camera down theirs to find out where their leak is coming from. So they're putting water into the ground.
So we need to find out who's peeing in there.
Pardon me? Yeah. Well, we fixed that.
Didn't we have a picture of that
yes.
at the meeting last month? I thought so.
Yeah.
And
I didn't recommend it.
Yeah, I just saw one guy in the picture. I didn't see three.
Oh, no, there were three. There were three big leaks. Water coming right in there. So that means, for me, what I plan to do the next few days is to see at our flow meter how much it's being reduced by. Because that's 24/7 that water's coming out.
Question with regards to the CCTV. This is the first time that we've gone through our entire system with closed circuit TV.
We haven't done the complete system. What they're doing is they're doing a few every year.
25%, right?
Okay. 25, yeah. On a rotating basis.
That's
it's like painting the Golden Gate Bridge, right?
That's never
right. Okay,
right.
Very good.
I'm moving forever.
So the leak, the leak, it wasn't a leak. That was a maintenance.
It was a leak.
Issue. Well, it was leaking, but you found it, so you went there and
before it was
correct.
Right away.
Yeah. Before it became an issue. Yeah.
It wasn't leaking sewage out because you had too much water coming in that was forcing forcing it in. So we had a lot of water we were taking in that we really didn't need to treat at the wastewater plant.
Right.
Infiltration.
Yeah.
What was the cycle for for scoping all of our pipes? Is it every 5 years we'll go through the cycle?
Every 4 years.
Every 4 years, 25% a year.
All right.
Great.
Okay. Any other questions?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks,
Ron. All right. Manager's report?
No, I don't have anything tonight other than later in the agenda under the committee reports.
How about legal?
You got a manager's report? Just one item, if you don't mind. It's we did have a fire hydrant that got hit Saturday behind the school, elementary school here, and a resident taking their child out to T-ball.
Mm-hmm.
Really was embarrassed because among friends, kids and all, hit a fire hydrant, knocked it over, and squirting straight up on them. So
is his insurance paying for that, hopefully?
Yeah. We brought up to CHP, and they took all the information, and we got it fixed today.
All right.
Very good.
Legal?
Nothing, sir.
Thank you. Okay, so I guess we go to committee reports.
I know that Chairman Graves wants to give a report. Do you want to give this report, Mr. Chair?
I think we should probably do this as a joint venture, because I think you probably have some things that I don't. I just want to clarify that obviously the agenda report is the one we have in our hands and not the one that's in the packet.
Correct.
Perfect. I just want to make a couple of comments, and then I'll turn it over to staff. Then I'll allow Vice Chair Steele to add to that if he wants to, and then we'll turn it over to the staff for their report. Just wanted to let the board know that the committee is adjusting to the weekly changes. Fortunately, Matt Ellison from Delta Valley was at the meeting the other night. We're working closely with him to transition our interested fitness people into his program on a relatively seamless project in June. He got his permits last week, and his anticipated open time is about mid-June. But with saying that and constantly evaluating the effectiveness of the program now and the amount of money that's being spent, the staff brought to board the recommendation that we adjust the hours of operation there and that we reduce those for a number of reasons, and that is that the usage at certain times wasn't enough to warrant the staff time and to save money, because we are operating at a negative over there. We've reduced those hours, and we also voted unanimously across the board to eliminate the kids club. There was a few kids there, but not enough to warrant a staff to be there waiting for kids to show up, and it just wasn't cost effective. Mm-hmm. And again, trying to minimize our funds, the red numbers, we voted to eliminate the staffing of the kids club. Mm-hmm. And there was two of the instructors that were using it. We were very conscientious to contact them and say, hey, this is nothing, you know, we just don't have a choice, but please make other arrangements, because we want to continue to have you as instructors. And we have been working closely with those instructors to expand the programs and to look for some alternative programming there. Right now, I think we're still at 19 a week.
But 20 right now.
20, and we've got somebody that might want to come in and do some ballroom dancing classes in there, and some very diversified, not just what you would consider aerobics or fitness from that perspective. And so the staff is working really hard to expand those programs, so we get that true community center feeling from what we're offering there. And that's all I have for my report, unless there's any questions I can address.
Yeah, I have a question.
Sure.
What are you looking at cutting back?
Right now we're open from 5 a.m. to 9:30 Monday through Friday, and 7 to 7 Saturdays and Sundays. From 5 a.m., not 5:30. And we're recommending to close at 8 p.m. That's about the time that the real drop-off is. After that, we haven't had anybody in there, literally. We haven't had anybody in there but like one or two people. And Saturdays, the drop-off is approximately 2 to 3 p.m. So we're recommending 7 to 3 p.m. And Sundays, 1 p.m. closing time.
Have you given any thought to just closing it? You know, I go by looking at it on Sundays. I never see a car out there on a Sunday.
Well, Sunday mornings are let me clarify. I apologize. Actually, that's part of the proposal that's coming to the board, because the board approved originally that we maintain things status quo. So this proposal to reduce the hours will actually be voted upon by the board here tonight. Okay. But the committee unanimously wants to bring that recommendation to the board. Along with another recommendation. I'll go ahead and turn to
I have a question.
Yeah.
How does this affect tennis?
It will affect tennis only in those hours of those after hours operations. Once the tennis isn't used, we don't have a lot of tennis users in the afternoon on the weekends. Mm-hmm. And they're not there that late at night. They're there much earlier if they're going to play in the evening, they're usually there like right.
No.
Oh, 8 o'clock. Wow. Almost 8 o'clock now. But they're normally there earlier, mm-hmm. between 4 and 7 is when we track them.
Okay.
And that'll be one of the issues that the committee will be addressing, because we may go to a situation where, for instance, the Hayward Area Recreation District over in the Castro Valley, Hayward, San Leandro, San Lorenzo area has tennis courts with lights, and they just are self-operating. You go in and you turn the button on and you play tennis, and it doesn't necessarily have to be manned. And so when we have hours that are open, operation, and those are free hours for the community, those we would need to staff it in order for them to play tennis. We don't know if we're going to go that route yet, but that's something we're going to discuss in committee.
Okay. The recommendation, there's two recommendations for the board to consider. The first one is to reduce the hours of operations that we've just indicated, and the second one is to cease operations of the fitness component of the community center effective June 30th. It's anticipated, as Chair Graves indicated, that Delta Valley Fitness will be bringing in their Express Fitness Club, if you will. I ran into Matt yesterday, and he's hoping for a mid-June opening. So essentially, as soon as they open, we're ready to, the committee recommended to close.
Let me, can I ask you a question? Would it be possible to give him a list of our membership and contact information? Maybe he could reach out to our members and tell them, look, we're going to be opening, they're going to be closed, and we'd like to move you into here. Is that possible?
Yeah, I don't see why not. He's actually, Delta Valley is actually one of our major sponsors.
Yeah, I know he's that. I mean, I think he'd be really smooth.
And they are planning on having a booth there to sign up their members. And, and so we're working in tandem with them.
Just so people don't think that we're stabbing them in the back and we're closed up.
No, in fact, we don't want it to look like Matt came in and ran us out of business, so we want to be fair to him. But you know, in all honesty, I'm glad to have him.
Yeah, I am too.
Because this is not our business, primary business. And so I want to do whatever we can as a committee to help him be successful.
I agree.
And it was interesting, one of the members of the committee that was on the board or on the committee last night said that they were concerned that Matt Ellison may not be successful in what he does, and then what happens, because now we've deserted all these people. And I waited till all the comments were made, and then I said, look, the guy's a professional. If he can't make it work, don't want to try to make it work. And so we'll give him whatever we can do to help him be successful, and we will encourage and promote his involvement, his business through the, I hope we will, staff will promote it through the club to make that transition good. And then he'll recommend people over for our programs, for our aerobics and our spinning and our whatever we're doing.
We have to be careful with providing Matt proprietary information to a private industry.
Maybe we could provide his information to our members and let them go.
Flyers out on the counter,
Is he going to be priced competitively with what we were doing?
Monday night, he said his pricing is going to be very similar to what ours is, but it's going to be an add-on. It's not going to be for both clubs. If you are a member here, you have to pay again to be a member over in Brentwood. Mm-hmm. But that way, he'll pick up the client base here at about the same fee bit structure that we have currently. Isn't that, you understood it?
That's good.
Chris, you want anything to add?
I just want to be clear on the fitness component. We're not eliminating fitness. We're eliminating the weight training and strength conditioning inside the building is what we're eliminating. And there's the whole idea is to add more programs to the community and be complementary to whatever goes along across the street, whatever happens on the water. The community center doesn't want to compete. Yeah. And so it'll be a good, I think we got a good handshake with what's going on. And I think that most of the community was very supportive at our meetings. They were, there were some comments about making a small trailer room and help keep the equipment. And we're not in the business to compete. And, there was a gal in the audience I thought was very helpful. She has some experience in the Tri-Valley area. Setting up the YMCA programs, and she had gone through a similar experience 2 years ago about having a YMCA with a gym and then a community center. And after through all the public meetings and all the analysis, they decided, let's go pure community center, and we don't need to be in the gym business.
I agree.
And she stood up and said she would encourage us to go that same route, which was nice.
Yeah, it was good.
She's running the entire Tri-Valley YMCA program, and they are going with the same plan we're going with. So that was nice to hear.
That's a great idea.
So do you want to make the recommendations?
You got a comment,
Only on the hours on Sunday, it's the pool. When the pool goes into service, if we'll you plan to shut down at 1 or 2,
no,
is it?
No, you're going
to
be open until...
That's on a different hourly schedule. We're just talking about the fitness center right now and the heavy staffing models. Once the pool, between now and the middle of May, we will be bringing a recommendation to staff on pricing for the pool, staffing with regards to lifeguards and hours of operation. That'll be a separate component, as will the tennis hours.
That's actually an item on the next agenda. Well, two agendas out. So there's two items. If you look on the agenda report that was handed out to you, was emailed out yesterday. Items number 1 and 2 are the items that we're looking for a recommended action and a motion and a approval.
I'd recommend that we take staff recommendation on this.
I'll second that. Are you referring to 1 and 2?
1 and 2. Both items, 1 and 2.
Can we lump them together?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. The only comment I have, I'd like to talk when this motion is finished about the green play draft.
Okay. Anything in the audience?
It's not on the agenda.
It's not on the agenda, yeah. But it's not in. It's not part of. Let me ask this question. Did the community center committee discuss the green play draft proposal?
Yeah, that's a great question, Bill. We actually just received it about the same time, the day before the board, because it didn't go out at the same time, but we received it like on Friday. Didn't have a real good chance to digest it over the weekend, and we're having a special meeting next Monday to address strictly or almost exclusively the green play draft after we've had a chance to review it. So the answer to your question is, so we haven't considered it yet, but we have a meeting scheduled to address it completely, and then we'll make any recommendations that we might see in that to the board at that point.
Okay.
But we would sure invite the board to come to that meeting and hear what discussions occur with regards to that. Let me ask council, if we do that in a workshop format, how does that work with if the board wants to come and participate? Can they or can they not participate in that?
The only participation you could do, since this is a standing committee, if there were three or more of you, is those who are not members of the committee could just observe and listen.
And let me ask.
Yes, sir.
Let me ask a question, procedural question. If the board had a study session scheduled at the same time the committee was scheduled.
Problem solved. Yes.
So,
let me.
I recommend that.
We didn't address that, but I understand your point, and I just would. Do you think, Rick, that anybody else on the committee would have any problem? I mean, I don't think it's a bad idea. I think it's a good idea because it takes it out of having to do it during our regular meeting time, and we're going to be addressing that anyway.
It's kind of like putting a bowl of clay there. It would be good.
Are we going off the deep end here? Or?
It's certainly your prerogative.
I would make a recommendation that we have a study session.
What
time? When is it?
It's scheduled for 7 o'clock on Monday, the
22nd.
And I would invite the board to be there, and we can really hash out a lot of this stuff that came through that at that time, and that kind of becomes a workshop for the board.
Yeah, I would.
Does that have to be a motion?
You would just schedule a joint meeting.
And then we just go out with a regular agendized meeting in a little bit.
Yes, so you have a joint meeting just like you would notice the committee, but you would add the committee and also a special meeting of the board of directors at the same time, same location.
Okay.
Carol, you'll notify us, please?
Yes.
Rick, I would just ask that you would inform the rest of the committee that that's going to happen so they're not blindsided by the board being there or having in any way feel that their authority has been usurped or their toes have been stepped on in any way.
Excellent.
Okay.
Yeah. Other volunteers too.
Yeah. Okay. So
we already had a second.
I went out to the. There's one possible comment.
I just had a quick question about the. Have you gotten so far as to talk about what you're going to do with all of the equipment?
No.
Okay.
We will be though. Discussing
that should probably free up some physical room space.
We'll be discussing that also.
All right.
Have you ever been to Venice Beach?
Just so it doesn't get away, and I know we're going to, through this discussion we just had, have an opportunity to fully talk about this report, but there is a budget proposed in the report. I did review the report, And as what I'm reading is significant negative shortfall on funding. So we'll talk about that in more detail.
The budget in there was prepared by him without any of our input because we didn't have a chance to review it and provide input in order to get it to the committee on time. We just didn't have it. I was able to review the document itself, but not the proposed budget. So,
will you have a real budget in time for the meeting?
Well, I have a budget. Yes, we do have a budget, but a lot depends on what the board eventually decides to do with respect to the recommendations of the replay report.
Which we will discuss at the meeting on Monday.
Yeah, okay. This is just a draft. Yeah.
Oh, I understand. But
okay.
I had to, how would I know other than what I'm reading? So.
Okay, that's actually for then. So I have a motion and a second. So all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. So we have done with. Are we done with K?
One.
No, K1. K2. No,
we're
with K.
Yeah, real briefly. Saturday is Earth Day, as you all know. I emailed you, all of you, this evening under separate cover, the schedule of events. The 8 a.m. till noon is the Earth Day volunteer programs. The Family Festival vendor area Kid Zone is from noon to 5. There's a hip-hop dance demonstration for the kids from 3 to 3:30, a Zumba dance demo from 3:30 to 4, and then introduction of dignitaries at 5, and the band's done around 5:15, 5:30. I do have confirmation that some of Jim Frazier will be here around 5 p.m., and Senator DeSaulnier is working to attend, but he may not be here in the afternoon. He may end up being here in the morning, so we may have to introduce him earlier in the morning or earlier in the day. We have 42 vendors lined up for the event. It's shaking out to be a pretty nice event overall, and we're hoping that the community will support it. We have the message board out throughout town. It's been on the west side of town the last few days. Be migrating back over here tomorrow. So, if you have any questions,
you need us there at 8 o'clock. Because would it be 8 o'clock in the morning to volunteer?
We need you there, Director Simon, at 6 a.m.
5:30 if you can be there.
I might as well just sleep on the lawn. It'd be like
there you go.
Stop on the way home.
And one last thing, I would like to invite you to volunteer in our town booth if you would. Presented this the other night to the community center committee. There is a number of boards, display boards, mm-hmm. that have a list of all these different types of programs that the community center committee, prior committee, had identified through the survey. And we have those boards, and we ask people to put dots on them and see which programs they would like and get them some involvement in that and some feedback. So if you'd like to participate in that, we'd love to have you.
So back to my original question, you'd like us there at 8 o'clock?
It's
my favorite. If you
fill it's
a
an
all-day
thing.
You fill
it
full of Crown Royal.
Slaver Park's going to need you. Garden Club.
If you fill the dunk tank with Crown Royal, I'll volunteer all day.
Okay.
Did an invitation go out to Supervisor Pifo?
Yes, Supervisor Pifo did receive an invitation a couple of weeks ago, or even longer than that. And she has a conflict with
opening day of
Bethel Island. Yes.
Okay. Is she aware that with what time that we're doing this? Because she'll.
I will make sure that I'll send her.
Because she's off the water at 3, I think. She made it back.
Okay, correspondence. Any questions on that? There's no public requests. No any future agenda items. Yes, I
do have one. I voiced my concern with Manager Howard in reference to Rec. I found out it's Rec 800 has the water that goes through, but it's on our property. I would like to have the board have a discussion about that. I feel that down the road, at some particular point, I view it as a public nuisance now that we own the property. I don't see any. Why it's there. I understand why it was put there. It was an aesthetic appeal at one particular point. But
what are you talking about?
This is the creek, the water lagoon that's out behind us
okay.
that runs through this property and
okay.
over to
water
the
feature. Yeah,
and
water
over
feature.
To the
okay.
yeah.
The birds have lived there.
I know, but I view it as a safety issue and aesthetics down the road. I'd like to have staff put it on an agenda so we could talk about it. I know that Rec 800 has to be involved in this, so I'd like to try and get some sort of a discussion going. It's,
okay.
it's not a burning item, but
yeah.
it's if we're going to develop this property, we're going to have a lot of kids on it.
We could get rid of that water.
Yes. I think the church, from what I've heard, the church wants to cover up their portion of it. Mm-hmm. I think that we could utilize the land a little better if it wasn't there and just put a conduit in it.
It's an environmental issue with the county.
If I may, this is just agenda
this
item.
We'll talk about it when we get
there. Yeah, I'd just like to put it on the agenda so we can talk about, find out whatever the issues are. And
you've done it.
See whatever.
You've got that done. Any other agenda items? Okay. With that, we are adjourned.